Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to our program tonight with Madani Channel. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, a very important topic we're going to be discussing today. Hopefully, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we're going to start in a few minutes. I want to give you a scenario. Two friends or three friends, they went into a shop and one friend had no clue as what's going to happen. The other two had something in their mind, they had something planned. And they all three go into a shop, and one of them, he starts to steal, and he takes a pen and he puts it into his pocket. The other one does that as well. And both of them are now looking at the third person that is with them. And, you know, from their eyes and from their looks, it looks like that they are telling him something to do. And he quickly takes a pen and puts one in his pocket. And all three of them walk outside the shop. Now that person who was forced or who was in a pressure, he was asked the question. He asked them questions that, I can't believe that you made me do that. And the other two, they said that, you know, everyone does it in their lifetime. So why is it that, you know, if you have done something? And then he says that, we didn't tell you to do it. We didn't tell you to do anything. Now, it says that that person, he was in that pressure, even though his friends did not verbally say anything to him, but he still went with their pressure and he stole that pen as well. According to law, all of them are thieves. But this is what our topic about today is. You know, every person, when you're a child, your parents usually choose your friends, putting you in a playgroup, or arranging play areas with certain children that they know or they love. Now that you're older, you decide your own friends and what groups you need to spend time with. Your friends, your peers are people your age to close to you who have experience and interests similar to yours. You and your friends make dozens of decisions every day, and you influence each other's choices and behavior. As you become more older, now what's going to happen is you spend a lot of more time away from home, away from your parents, away from your siblings, and you spend more time with your friends. You'll probably develop a close friendship with some of your peers, and you'll feel connected to them, that they are like an extended family. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, if you are a teenager and you are watching this program is specially for you. If you are the parents and you have teenagers, this is a program that is specially for you. Inshallah, Azawajal, today we're going to be discussing about peer pressure. How our youngsters, especially our teenagers, fall into this category. Now, peer pressure doesn't have to be bad all the time. There could be good peer pressure. For example, someone has become a Hafiz of the Quran, someone has become an Alim al-Deen, and you know, you have that pressure inside yourself that I need to achieve the same as well. That is a good pressure. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to highlight the bad peer pressure, and we'll also talk about the good one as well. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, we've got Harun Bhai MashaAllah Azawajal in the studio. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yeah, Harun Bhai, are you okay, MashaAllah?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
SubhanAllah. The topic for today is peer pressure. If you want to start off.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's a very, very important topic, because a lot of us will say that we're not influenced by peer pressure, but in fact, every day of our lives, we are. As human beings, often the way that Allah has designed us, we actually take a lot of information in from our surroundings, and that information influences our decisions and what we do. Now, where our surroundings are strong, then the influence is greater. And when I say strong, for example, a lot of youngsters can relate to this, where if one person asks them to do something wrong, the norms, the social norms, the Islamic etiquette, the Islamic rules, the understanding of Quran and Hadith that as children we get instilled into us through madrasa, through the teachings of our parents, those will hold strong. So you got one person, for example, saying, come on, let's have a drink. And the young man will say, the young girl will say, no, this is against my religion and everything else. And they'll probably try and lecture the person who's trying to influence them. Now, that's one type of one-to-one scenario of peer pressure. Now, in that, there is a risk, and you need to look at whether this person is, you know, the right person for you to be hanging around with, but that's not my point here. The real problem comes is this. When there is one person who, in isolation, say you're in a park or somewhere else, and he says, you know, here, have a drink, and you say no, you're strong enough to do that. Now let's change the environment. You're out with the boys, there are five or six of them, you're in a car, you are perhaps, you know, where you shouldn't be, going to a club or something like that, and then in the midst of that, with all these lads, you're being offered drugs, they're all taking a pill, or they're all having a drink. Now, in that environment, the same rules apply. When it was one-to-one, you said, no, this is against my religion. But there is this extra added pressure. And that really is peer pressure at its extreme. So what people do is they don't want to do it, but they feel compelled to do certain actions because of the group they're in. What do people think of me? So they will go to the extremes of doing this. Now, the problem has occurred, or the foundation for this deception of the shaitan has come early on. It has come when you've stepped into the wrong environment, when you've stepped with the wrong people, you've gone to the wrong place. A lot of people, the shaitan convinces that, TKG, I'm going with these wrong people, but I will not do wrong. And for centuries, the proven facts are that, you know, if you're with the good people, nek people, and then you will always do the good things. If you're with the bad people, you'll do the bad things. I think there was a famous couplet, ke je beso dukaan taran te hulle han hazaran. If you sit at a perfume shop, you may not buy the perfume,
you will smell of the perfume
because you sat in a perfume shop. Te je beso dukaan lohara. If you sit at a blacksmith's, the sparks flying from the metal that they're making and they're striking will burn your clothes. And that's the example that the pious predecessors have given, that no matter how good you are, and this is where, you know, as youngsters, our parents always used to say that stay away from bad company, and used to say, you know, we've all been through it, you know. Oh, it's me, you know, I'm strong enough and I'm this and I'm that. Oh, gee, what do the parents know? Well, you know, having been there and done that, you thought, oh my God, they were exactly right. There's no way that you can be with the wrong people and protect yourself. There can be no way where you're with the wrong people and you can stay away from sin and guna. And it's a very interesting social or psychological state of mind, because it applies you the way as well, Hafsa. So if, you know, somebody is a bi namazi, and he hangs around, say he's out with the lads again, and all the lads are, you know, all the boys are namazi, they're, you know, pious, and they say, right, now we're out for a meal or whatever, it's Maghrib time, so they pull over the car and they say, wuzu kari, we'll go to the local mosque, we'll read namaz. Is he going to say, no, I'll stay in the car, even though he doesn't read?
He's going to come with you.
So it works the other way as well. So he's going to say, okay, I'm going to come with you. If he's out, and you know, a lot of youngsters go out. So, you know, one of the things that Madni Channel and on Madni Channel we try to do is kind of help people. if you're out with the lads and you're having a good laugh, and say, for example, something tempts you or you want to do something, and those people say, no, no, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. That's against the Quran and the Hadith. Even though you've got five friends who are telling you, would you go and do it? Never.
No.
You'd stop. Now, that is peer pressure at its best. So it's a very interesting phenomenon. But a lot of the time, our youngsters, they get exposed to this peer pressure now. And there's a different type of peer pressure now as well. And this is very interesting, because in the olden days, it was who you went out with, who you associated with, who you spent time with, and the friend circle that you had. Now, you've got this social media platform. And I know what you're saying, you know what X is saying. So basically, to conform on there, what the shaitan does is says, well, I'll just say it on the group, isn't it? Nobody knows, and it doesn't mean anything. But the shaitan makes you open up, probably makes you lie about the things that you have done, and then builds up this concept in your mind. So if you, for example, if people are talking about drugs and somebody says, yeah, yeah, I've tried this, I've tried that, and he keeps saying that, eventually, if they ever get together, he will say, you know, I'm known for it now. It's become my mark. So he will then very easily take that step. And this is all traps of the shaitan. Peer pressure is in different forms. So there's the one-to-one. There is the unspoken, you know, other people are doing it. I've got to follow the crowd.
Yeah.
Right? In that case, you know, a lot of teenagers, they fall into the wrong actions because they think following the crowd. Now, a lot of people might think, well, I don't do that. Actually, you do. All the fashions that you copy, you know, when you go to the barbers and you have that funny haircut,
that's following somebody.
Yeah. You know, whether it's in, this is peer pressure, you're trying to conform to some norms in the particular part of society that you live. So if you lived in a country, if say for example you lived in a certain particular state of America, you would conform to the norms of that country. If you live in a particular village in Pakistan, you would conform to you wouldn't go and wear a three-piece suit in a village in Pakistan and go out to read namaz, would you? But if you're in the middle of London and you're living there and you go, you know, you'd get away with that. So that every society, every culture has its norms.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to adopt the choices. Now, the fashions of the time we're adopting. You will not get a youngster, a teenager, wearing something which is out of fashion. This, I'd rather die than do that. Why? Because that fashion has influenced their mind. And then interactions, the way they speak. A lot of youngsters think they're not influenced. When they talk, they talk in that lingo and they flick their hands about. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know, he's copying. And sometimes it's subconscious. They've seen something they think is cool.
They don't know how what they're doing.
And they've picked up. I mean, some of them, it's unfortunate. They watch these rapster movies, gangster movies. And then every second, they think swearing is cool. So every second word that they're swearing. I've had a few where, obviously, when you're talking to them, they don't want to swear. There's a habit, so they're coming out with it. So all of this actually proves that we're heavily influenced by everything around us. So there's unspoken peer pressure of those that do. There's direct peer pressure where people will tell you how to behave. And then there's, you know, negatives and positive peer pressures, the different things. But amazingly, you know what the scholars write? That as parents, you can actually influence your children through peer pressure.
Yeah.
In a family environment, you can change your family environment through peer pressure. It's a social, psychological kind of tool. You can influence a society into not committing crimes simply because of peer pressure. And this is what a lot of these campaigns do. They make it socially acceptable or socially unacceptable to do certain things. Let me give you a very interesting example. Many, many years ago, there was a campaign. And what had happened is for many decades in this country, they'd been battling drink driving. And they tried to increase the sentences, they tried different things and everything else. And they struggled with this because people just weren't listening and weren't obeying. Then, very interestingly, there came a time where somebody developed a different theory. They said, the only way we're going to stop this is if you make it socially unacceptable to do this. So that everybody, that you're
normal man on the street thinks this is just socially, societally unacceptable, mm-hmm. and then people will not do it, not because they're scared of the law, because they're scared of what society will think. So if you make it unacceptable that somebody in your street is a for example, a drunk driver, people will hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that. They had massive media campaigns costing millions of pounds to do that. And it came to that stage where the number of drink drivers came down drastically. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of proof that we are not influenced by the laws. We're not influenced by the punishments. We're not influenced by different... We are influenced by what society is around us and what it does. And that is what our pious predecessors have been saying for centuries. That no matter what you do, it is the environment that you're in.
If you have a good friend, you'll have a good environment. You're gonna, you know, you're going to do good because you'll be watching them as well. If you have a bad friend, then obviously, just like that opening remarks I mentioned about them, friends are going to a shop, and you know they were bad friends. So even that, the third person didn't want to do anything, but yet he still got caught up in that. And he's going to class himself as a thief as well for his life. So in the same way, this peer pressure that you mentioned is no doubt again.
You mentioned the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's, you know, everything that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was divinely inspired. And there's an ayah mubarakah of the glorious Quran in relation to that as well. Now, one of the beauties of the hadith of mubarakah was, you know, a lot of the times, Hafiz, we look for these words of wisdom. We look to different texts to try and find words, and we try and think, okay, if somebody could tell me something that's really, really kind of has so many pearls of wisdom, you could write a book on it. We look for that sort of thing. You will not find anything better than the hadith of Mubarakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know what the scholars say? That Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's every word Mubarak was jami. It had so many different meanings for different contexts, for different people. And one of the things that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was that you are on the deen of your friend.
Subhanallah.
And today, you know, society moves on 1460 years and they say, you know, your friends influence you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that.
Yeah, sure.
And so what you've got to do is, you see, it's very difficult to go down the road and then to really stop yourself once you're, you know, say you're traveling from here to London, and it's a journey you shouldn't be making. Yeah. If you're close to London, then you try to turn around, you'll struggle. But if at the outset you'd think, where am I going and why am I going, it'd be a lot easier for you. Now, what a lot of people do is they set off on this path of the wrong thing, in the misconception that I am in control. And the shaitan takes them so far that he wraps them up.
We need to achieve piety. And to achieve piety, we need to stay with the right people. You know, even if you have, we were talking about peer pressure. If you have that pressure of good people, like someone's become a Hafiz-e-Quran. Another question,
I'm just going to come back to that hadith in Mubarakah. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
said. I've got a couple of questions from viewers as well.
But you're on the deen of your friend, yeah?
Ji.
Now, looking at that hadith in Mubarakah, what essentially we're being told is that right at the outset, if you choose the wrong friend, you will struggle.
Ji.
But if you have the right people, so if you have the right environment, yeah? Let me give you, you know, they often say the proof is in the pudding. There are so many of us, alhamdulillah, born and bred in this country effectively. We've spent all our lives here. We've had the influences. We've seen that there is a lot out there that you can distract you and everything else. And from the age of about 20, 25, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we were blessed with the Madni environment of Dawat Islam. A lot of people who see us on Madni channel think, oh, these guys, you know, they've always, you know, been... And so many people who are in the Madni environment lived a different life, but they had their friends, they had their peer pressures and everything else, but Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed them and they saw that this was leading them to the wrong way. So what they didn't, you know, we didn't come on, you didn't come on into the Madni Mahal to become a Mubaligh, you didn't come into the Madni Mahal to, you know, do bayans or to, it was
we
one
had
of those,
nothing in mind.
And what you did is, all you did is associated yourself with a righteous environment, right? And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, gradually over time, that righteous environment and the nigah of a wali of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, a pious servant of Allah Azza wa Jalla, has cleansed the muridin, you know, the followers and the spiritually to make them, bring them closer to Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what it was, say for example, you had set out to try and do what you do, But without the Madani environment of Dawat Islami, I don't think we would have got very far.
No, I think you'll agree with me as well. There's been so many friends that we used to have, and now when you look at the you look at them, and you look at the pastor, and I can remember Harun Bhai that we had a lot of pressure. Yara chana chorna wa. We used to go a game of football. Oh come on, you're gonna spoil the game by leaving us. And then you think to yourself, what am I gonna do? Play with them or go to the masjid and read the namaz? And then you think to yourself, no, I think namaz is better, salah is better. So, think it back. I think, Ya Allah, thank you. So I chose the right path. Even though we were under that pressure, but we had that fear. One, we had the fear of our parents, because, if they find out that we haven't offered our salah, and they're going to ask us, we have to lie. So might as well just forget these friends and join in. Well, alhamdulillah, coming into the environment, we found so many good friends.
I'm not just saying this for the sake of saying it. I've been there. We've been with friends through college, university and all that, where, you went out, you had a good laugh and everything else. And then I've had the other side where, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, you were traveling in Madni Kafilas of Dawat Islami, and the brothers are coming, waking you up for tahajjud in the morning, and you're getting up for Fajr in the morning, and you're doing a Madni Halka Fajr. And honestly, hand on heart, Hafizab, if you compare the two, there's no comparison. And this is why, once the brothers get a taste of this, they think, oh my God, where have I been? What have I been doing? There was one brother, I remember, he was a bit of a gangster. And we went on a Madni Kafla, and I still remember it to this day. And when he came in, he was like, oh, he's coming. This lad's, one of the Jack the lads. He's one of the It Syndrome boys, yeah? And when he came into the Madni Kafla Friday night, he's like the main man, and people, talking to him and everything else. And then he's learning a bit as well. And I don't want this food. In the olden days, you remember Karun, even so we used to cook them. You used to get the mother of your children to bake. One of the Islamic brothers used to get their family to cook and bring the handi. We used to get the roti and everything else. So it was that sort of flex. And he's like, I ain't eating that. I want takeaway. So, and you remember in those days, there was no rawaj for takeaway. So he's like, he wants to takeaway. So he thought, okay. So the Islamic brothers entertained him. So they got him some food and everything else. So the next day again, he's like Saturday night, And gradually, Sunday night, honestly, I'm going to remember this probably for the rest of my life. Sunday night, when you clean up the mosque after, Asr time and everything else, you do the hoover and everything else, and you clean up everything, and all the brothers chip in to put something into the masjid and everything else. This brother's gone really quiet. And in the end, brothers are packing their stuff and putting it in the car, and all the pillows and the kumbal and everything else. And he starts to cry, says, I don't want to go home. He said, for the first time in my life, I found peace. I ain't going home. I'm staying here.
Subhanallah.
So the brothers are explaining to him, look, you can't stay here. We're in a masjid and you got to go home. We had 2 days ijazat, everything else. Yeah. And at the time, it wasn't one of the Dawat Islami for Zona Medinas as well. It was a normal, mashallah, Sunni masjid. And it was really interesting because he's point blank refused to go home. He insisted that I want to stay. And eventually, the Islamic brothers convinced him that there would be further Madani kaflas and look, you've got to go home and everything else. And alhamdulillah, this is what really... And what had happened is this. He tasted the fruit of a garden that he didn't want to come away from. And this is the problem. We never taste that.
SubhanAllah. We're going to go to a beautiful kalam that we have for you today, mashallah, Azawajal. We try to fit the kalam in today. So let's go towards listening to this beautiful kalam, and we'll be back straight away with our topic, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
مانگ لو مانگ لو چشم تر مانگ لو درد دل اور حسن نظر مانگ لو سبز گنبد کے سائے میں گھر مانگ لو مانگنے کا مزہ آج کی رات ہے آج یا رسول اللہ یا نبی Ya Nabi Allahi Salam حاصلوں کو تکلف ہے ہم سے اگر ہم بھی بے بس نہیں بے سہارا نہیں فاصلوں کو تکلف ہے ہم سے اگر ہم بھی بے بس نہیں بے سہارا نہیں خود انہیں کو پکاریں گے ہم دور سے راستے میں اگر پاؤں تھک جائیں گے
یا رسول اللہ سلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ سلام علیک یا نبی
مدینے میں تنہا نکل جائیں گے اور گلیوں میں قصدن بھٹک جائیں گے ہم مدینے میں تنہا نکل جائیں گے اور گلیوں میں قصدن بھٹک جائیں گے ہم وہاں جا کے واپس نہیں آئیں گے ڈھونڈتے ڈھونڈتے لوگ تھک جائیں گے یا رسول اللہ یا نبی اللہ
یا رسول اللہ سلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ سلام علیک یا نبی
مدینے کے زائر خدا کے لیے داستان سفر مجھ کو یوں مت سنا اے مدینے کے زائر خدا کے لیے داستان سفر مجھ کو یوں مت سنا دل تڑپ جائے گا بات بڑھ جائے گی میرے محتاط آنسو چھلک جائیں گے
یا رسول اللہ سلام علیک یا حبیب اللہ سلام علیک یا نبی
چشم کرم کو ہے اس کی خبر کس مسافر کو ہے کتنا شوق سفر، ان کی چشم کرم کو ہے اس کی خبر، کس مسافر کو ہے کتنا شوق سفر، ہم کو اقبال جب بھی اجازت ملی، ہم بھی آقا کے دربار تک جائیں گے، یا رسول اللہ یا نبی اللہ،
یا رسول اللہ سلام علیک، یا حبیب اللہ سلام علیک، یا نبی
قدموں میں رکھ لو گناہگار کو، کوئی اس کے سوا آرزو ہی نہیں، تم پہ ہر دم کروڑوں درود و سلام،
یا رسول
MashaAllah Azawajal, hope you enjoyed this beautiful kalam and alhamdulillah you did the ziyarat of the beautiful Rozae Pak of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala give me and all of us the ability to visit the beautiful Rozae Pak of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to do Umrah again and again inshallah in Makkah Pak.
Ameen.
Ji, Pyare Islam Bhai, alhamdulillah Azawajal. I've got a question from a viewer. Assalamu alaikum, I'm watching your program. Can you help me to control myself from peer pressure? So this is a young lad who's asking us how he can control himself with all this peer pressure. What can he do?
You see, there's a science, there's an old rule of science here that you have to fill any space.
Ji.
You can't have a vacuum. Now what happens is this, a lot of us, what we try to do is we want to stay away from our friends, but we don't give ourselves an alternative. So when you sat at home twiddling your thumbs, you think, oh, forget it, and the shaitan takes over you. But you replace your time. For example, I go out every night with my mates between 7 and 9. It's a habit we've got now. If I don't go out between 7 and 9, I'm going to be restless, and because I can't be sat at home doing nothing. So what happens is I have to fill that time alternatively. So if I make the habit of, say, for example, between 7 and 9, I start a ballet dance class. So every 3-4 days a week, I'm at the mosque, reading, learning the Quran. In that environment, how many new friends do you make? Lots, yeah? Mm. And I know that we started one in our local masjid, and the people who were involved in the original class, yeah? The first one we started, I think it was about May 16 it was. You can go to, firstly, they still come to namaz to pray regularly, Jamaat. And second thing is, they are almost best buddies. Now, they probably didn't know each other before that class. And they hang around together after namaz. They stood outside talking for hours. You know, and they become... So these people must have had an environment before that. They must have had peer pressure. Indeed. They must have had friends. But they changed. If you want to get away from your circle of friends, you've got to give yourself an alternative. Start a course, do online courses, do something in the evening, read the Quran, go spend time with family. Have an alternative in place and it will help you take your mind off things. And if you, you know, and then the other thing is, I said this to a lot of youngsters, mm-hmm. you can find the right friends. I see this, you know, as I was growing up, I was with three of my very close friends, and we kind of went through, we were together through college and university. We didn't go to the same universities, we went to different universities, but we always stuck together, and alhamdulillah, they became lawyers as well. And we've been all over the world, we've traveled to different countries, everywhere else. But I've mentioned this before as well, wherever we want, one of them is a Hafiz of Quran as well. And it was like, namaz is the most important. We'll have a good laugh. Sure. You know, we'll go for a meal. We'll have a good laugh. But namaz was the most important thing. And, you know, even when we went away, I went to Morocco, we went to other places. In the morning, we'd all get up, Fajr Pari, we'd read the Quran, we'd plan our day, we'd go to visit beautiful mosques. We had, you know, ziyarats and everything else. And so that was the environment. Now, out there, there will be your mates who just want to get in that fast car, put a pipe on the exhaust and burn down, up and down the road. And, you know, and sometimes, they, you know, you stood there, you think, he's gone around this block once and he's going around it again. And, they come up and down. I mean, don't they get bored? And there's those types of people. Or you can hang around with the proper people who are characters. And they will help you change your life. So replace your friends. Sometimes it may sound easier than it is, but you have to put an effort in and you will find the right people. And
sometimes, you can, as they say, listen to your gut as well. You know, see what you know, are you comfortable with that as well? You know, like I can remember Khalid B once talking about a young lad and he goes, look, this is not me. It's just because I'm with my friends, I'm going to dress up like that. You know, so again, ask yourself as well, if that's not you, then you don't have to be like them. You don't have to be hanging around street corners. You don't have to be joyriding with them. Because end of the day, what's going to happen is you are not comfortable in that environment. And if you're not comfortable, don't join them. So that's one thing to stay away from them. There's another question similar to that. They say that, Islam Brother, he says that, I don't feel comfortable in saying no to my friends. It isn't like saying no to them. But he says most of the time we do end up doing wrong things. He hasn't mentioned what wrong things, good thing. But so basically he's got a friend circle. He doesn't want to do it. He's pressurized into it, but he doesn't want to say no to them as well.
I think that to an extent, I don't want to sound unfair, but that to an extent is a bit of weakness and cowardice. And it's a strong word I use, but I use it for this reason. You know, a lot of brothers, when you say, can we go on a Madni Kafla? Let's go to the masjid. Let's do this. They can say no straight away.
Gee.
And they do. You and I have experienced it many times. Yet, when it comes to these people who do know are a bad influence, they know that. That's why they're there and they're concerned. But then it's all about standing up. You see, it's all about sabr. It's all about having the patience and having the belief. And having the yakin that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. If Allah Azza wa Jalla, you have the firm belief that Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching, then you will take the actions. Now, saying no is, it just reminds me of a saying of Amir al-Sunnah.
I've got someone here, he says, one of the things that I used to say was, my mom's going to kill me if I do this. So they used to say, Ratuja. Yeah, so that's another way out. Blame you onto the parents. Oh, my mom's going to kill me if I do that. So what happened? This is another way of, getting out of the situation.
It's taking out it's removing that pressure out, because you don't want to feel weak. You don't want to feel like you're not strong enough to do the certain things, or, you've given into pressure. So you can pass the pressure on and pass the book on. But what you've got to avoid, you see, the reality of this is, Hafsah, even if you and I were to put ourselves in that environment where we are, so far out that you've got no choice, just 10 people. If we put ourselves in that position and we're being fired with so much peer pressure, then ask yourself, what am I doing here? And that's the key to it. What am I doing? If I feel uncomfortable, why am I here? And honestly, I'll tell you hand on heart, I have had to give up certain groups of friends who I who didn't do anything wrong, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. But all they used to do is we would go out and they was to just try and take Mickey and all that and shout and swear and this and that. And it got quiet. And I thought, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And okay, there's a lot of enjoyment in it, you know. But I used to think, I must be walking away with guna, you know, because even though I'm listening to this, I'm not getting involved, yeah? And so I stopped.
But again, you know what happened, like you mentioned earlier on, we've all been through that path. Maybe it's some teenagers will be watching, yeah? Your parents have gone through that. We've all been through that as well. And one of the best things that you can do is make that decision yourself. Don't get influenced. And then sometimes I've been in a situation where I went to, I didn't go back to my parents, but I went back to my qari sahab in the masjid. And, you know, you had that and you think, no, I need some help here. You know, and these friends, what was happening is they were from the madrasa environment. But it's like, chalo aaj idhar julne hain, let's go here, let's go there. And you think to yourself, no, I don't think this is right. But for you to make that decision, sometimes you need an adult's help as well. Mm-hmm. You know, go and ask your teacher, your parents, and they can help you come out of that situation.
You see, you've got to accept one reality to be able to change things. And that reality that you've got to accept is peer pressure.
Yeah.
There is peer pressure.
Yes.
I'll tell you why. I'll give you an example. You've got an Islamic brother who wears and is new into the mahol. Yeah. So eventually, you know, when you've been in so long, you start to question yourself, why am I wearing a mamashibi saying I'm wearing it because it's the sunnah of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that wasn't the niyat right at the beginning. It was like, I'm on a madni kafla, everybody's got an mamashibi on, I've got to get one on. And, you know, can somebody help? You couldn't even tie it, so you just wrapped it around your head as you could, yeah? I'm wearing, you know, jeans, everybody's got salwar kameez on, or everybody's got jubba on, everybody's got madni labas on, yeah? So you think, right. And then I'm walking around, my pockets are empty. Everybody's got the Maswak Sharif on there, and you know, the Maswak Sharif was there, and everything else, yeah, and the Shajra Sharif in the top pocket, and the green comb. Yeah, I feel a bit odd, and that's peer pressure.
Yeah, but it's a good one.
Good
then.
Peer pressure, yeah. Right? And then, so that's what influences us. So it's like Namaz time, and everybody's dropping everything they're doing, and they're running to Namaz. I've got to do the same. That was peer pressure. This weekend, messages flying about, we're going on a Madni Kafla, we're going to Birmingham this weekend, oh, it's going to be a good laugh, it's going to be really enjoyable, we're going to learn a lot. And now, I've got to go. You know, that when they're driving up, the Islamic Brothers will listen to Nath, will listen to a Bayan, and we'll go there. That's peer pressure, but it's good peer pressure.
Yeah.
And you sat there today, hand on heart, from where you were to where you are, isn't it the beautiful peer pressure of Dawat Islam?
Alhamdulillah. You know, there's a lot of choices that I had made, and alhamdulillah, I thank Allah Ta'ala for giving me the opportunity to make the wrong choice. So, if, mashallah, our teenagers who are watching this, please, there is no, as they say, try not to take this peer pressure on too much, because you are free, alhamdulillah, try to make your own decisions. If you think that you need an adult's help, there's so many Dawat Islami brothers, mashallah, Harun Bhai does that all day, I do that all day, many Islami brothers come to us, talk to us, and inshallah, we'll give you a way out.
You see, peer pressure is going to affect your life.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, it will affect your life. It's now up to you to build the environment where it's good peer pressure.
If you're in a state where, you know, your friend's smoking, you don't have to smoke. If they're going out clubbing, you don't have to do that. But when you do that, you made that choice yourself now. And if anything bad happens, it's because of your choice that you've made. So, you know, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami is an environment. You know, I would request all of you to come into Dawat Islami. You know, don't think Dawat Islami is an organization where you have to wear the Imam Sharif, Dari Rakwasanga, they're going to force me. Nothing is forced, yeah. But what you'll have is you'll have a good environment.
Sorry to interrupt you, but a lot of brothers, they've come into the Madni Mahal and they come to the Madni Mashras, and initially they had, you know, no beards, and they felt left out. And then, you know, after a few weeks and months, and initially they were quite resistant. Oh, no, I'll decide when I would decide. And then one day, suddenly, alhamdulillah, Dari Sharif appears on their face and it looks beautiful, you know. That's, in my mind, if that's peer pressure, I know, that's the best peer pressure you can have in the world. And you know, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you, but you know, a lot of the amal that we do starts off with riyakari. They start off with show. So you might be, I might be in an environment where I've got 10 Islamic brothers in a Madni Kafala, and I think, yeah, look at them all. They've all got beautiful beards here, and I feel a bit odd here. And, you know, I think I should keep a beard as well, yeah? And maybe I started off, I mean, I'm just summarizing, but maybe I started off thinking, I need to, you know, be like these brothers. I need to wear an imamah sharif. I need to wear a jubba. I need to have the dari sharif. I need to talk like in the Dawat Islami istilahs. And you know, you remember in the early Madni Kafras, we used to try and learn the istilahs. We used to try and copy.
We used to get
the,
a little paper.
And we used to think, that's cool, man. I wish I knew all the Dawat Islami istilahs. And then you used to try and make every second word, you know, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. And maybe, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal, forgive us, but sometimes it was like you were trying to show off that, you know, you knew something. And but gradually what happened is that little, it was neku ki nakal bhi achi hai na. So you were copying the right people, and that kind of took over your life, and suddenly it opened. Allah Azza wa Jal blessed you, and your mind opened up, and you thought,
mashallah,
subhanallah, you know, this is the peer pressure I want.
We went on a Madani Kafila Arubi once, and the Islamic brothers, you could see that, you know, they're under that pressure of, you know, because we're this person, because it was their respect for me. And, you know, but they weren't opening up, you know, it's like, ji, labbaik, hafsa, whatever you say. And one day I went into the room and I go, wow, come on, bro, what's happening? And they're like, shocked, you know, hafsa, we never knew that you're going to speak like that.
I'm
one of you guys, man. Forget that, you know, alhamdulillah, we're all together in this. And inshallah, we're going to help one another. And to be honest with you, this is what the Dawat Islami is about. We're all friends. No one, you know, kehte hain tanzeemi zimmedariyan are there. But the thing is, we're all equal, alhamdulillah. You know, this is the beauty of Islam. Now, Harun bhai, moving on to the next one. We've got parents watching this as well now. You know, parents are growing, they have teenage children growing up, daughters, sons. You know, if them children fall into a peer pressure, the ulama-i kiram, the buzurgan-e-deen, they say that the first person that they need to turn towards to is the parents. What would you do if you were approached by one of your children? What advice would you give your children?
I was looking at this earlier because I was reading something, and it basically said that one of the most powerful influences on a child is not the peer pressure of society and outside. It is actually the parents. But if they take it seriously. Problem is, a lot of the time, when the child is at the right age, we do not influence them enough. And once they get past the certain age, and once they've developed this peer pressure from outside, you know, he's got his mates now, he's 16, he's 18, and the mates are influencing him, the drugs are there. Then we try to influence him with the danda, yeah? And we say, right, Una, you've got to behave, and it doesn't work. And what they write is this. As the child is kind of in his early days, you want to set the examples, and you want to be the pressure. The family needs to be the support mechanism and the social pressure that it creates. So let me give you an example. As the child is growing up, you know, Ghazali Rahmatullahi writes this as well. The child is like, from the age of 5, is a blank sheet of paper. What we do is we think, you know, when he makes mistakes at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, that's what we say, don't we? So he'll be fine when he grows older. But that doesn't actually happen. What happens is this. In those early years, from 5 till 11, maybe up to 12, do you know who the most influential people in a child's life is? The parents.
The parents, yeah.
It's not the television. It's not the games. It's not social media. It's nothing. The parents are the most influential people. And in that age, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, they can make this child, the character of the child, whatever they want. If they instill in that child the Quran, the Sunnah, the respect for parents, the danger of drugs, the danger of alcohol, Jummah is important, that child will grow up to think namaz is the most important obligation of the day, reading the Quran is most important. And I'm going to give you an example that you're going to relate to. Do you know a lot of youngsters in this country, you know, from an early age, one of the things that the parents emphasize is Jummah.
Jumanji.
Right? So you will get a lot of these youngsters who are far from deen, don't read namaz, don't do anything else. Maybe, you know, they're not very good with their parents. But at Jummah time, they'll park their racing cars outside and they'll come in and pray Jummah. Why? Because Bachpuntu, from an early age, that's been drilled into Jummah, you can't miss. کاش کہ جس جمعہ کیونکہ the problem was dad only read جمعہ
جی that's the problem
the problem was that dad only took out the Quran in Ramzan so they do they give everything up in Ramzan because that's what they saw but if you do that day in day out every day every morning your child from the age of 5 6 7 8 you are the biggest influence and once they get to that stage of 10 11 12 because of the 6 years that you've influenced the child everybody can try from outside they will not be able to penetrate the beautiful kind of protection that this child has that you've given them because you've given them those strong morals and what they've grown up with is this they've not taken their etiquettes their morals from their friends they've not taken them from society generally or anywhere else or the television or the internet they've taken the morals from Islam the Islamic code the sunnah the Quran this is their life and that you know the noor of that say for example you did that every day the child didn't learn anything just the noor and the blessings and the light of that would give them guidance and we always say you know there's an old saying those children who have grown up in the environment of a madni environment at home with namaz with Quran kept them away from all these film and drama all this thing yeah those children you know what we used to say is you know even if you throw them upside down they'll always land on their feet it was a kawa they put it sort of very parent for khade jane something like that so the moral is that they will always have a firm grounding comes back to parents
another thing is Arun bhai that you know parents especially we need to understand that you know like you mentioned that a lot of peer pressure is from home so don't expect too much from your children as well you know one of the there was a survey that I was reading this morning when I was preparing for this as well and it says that you know children are you know under so much pressure from home you know especially with your exams are coming up you make sure you better get some good marks and all that kind of stuff now what happens is children they're always going to be scared you know if I don't get good marks what's going to happen I was talking to a friend of mine and he was saying like oh my son doesn't pay attention at home he doesn't even you know all he does is just play and play you know officer please can you come down sometime and talk to him all right I will yeah I goes, how old is he? He's 6 years old. Oh, yara khauf kar khuda ra. He's only 6 years old. And you're worried about, you know, that this is his playtime. Yeah, let him grow up and then we'll think about it. And, you know, so there's this peer pressure from home that if I don't do good, my parents are going to be, you know, angry with me.
You see, this is the beauty of Islam. It teaches moderation. You know, there are Baz parents who go OTT. And they think, right, you've come home from school. Right, have something to eat and go upstairs and start doing your homework.
Ji.
Right, in 5 o'clock is madrasa time, we'll take you to madrasa, 7 o'clock you come out, come home, have a roti, and then you can do some more reading and you can do some more work, yeah? And that's where you can go to sleep, yeah? And at weekends, yeah, you've got to do this, this and this. That is torture.
Ji.
And your child isn't going to do it. I know one person, a friend of mine, his father, may Allah Azza raise the ranks in Jannah, and they passed away a few years ago, but they used to lock him in the room and say, right, oh, Saturdays and Sundays, and say, right, you've got to do your work. Do doctor one now, or something like that, yeah? And the poor lad honestly nearly lost his mind.
You know, one father, I was talking to him, and I goes, okay, you want your... He goes, look, I've got plans for my son. I want him to be this, I want him to... I goes, look, end of the day, you work in a factory. Why are you putting so much pressure on him? Let him decide what he wants to be. And it doesn't have to be that whatever the father does, the son's got to do the same as well. Give him that guidance. You know, show him that, you know, there's all these options. You know, they get these options from school. Kids come back excited. You know, I remember my kids come back, you know, what do you... And I basically, you want... You know, I think, Buttari, should be this but end of the day that's your mashwara to them that's just a guidance let them make the decision
one person said to me I was with my little one and he said hey chote barrister sahab you know barrister Brunson I said listen I'm a bit selfish so I says I want him to get a good education don't get me wrong I want to get a good job yeah but I'm going to try and do something which means that I can benefit from what he does he said what I said I'm going to try and make him a hafiz of Quran because hafiz of Quran Brunsina it will help me in my grave, in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, yeah? If he's a doctor, barrister, or engineer, he's not going to help me, so I'm sorry, I'm a bit selfish, yeah? I'll try and make him that as well. Indeed. But first of all, I want him to become a hafiz of Quran. And call me selfish, but that's...
No, that's mashallah. The thing is, Harun bhai, at this moment of time, yeah, we've got children who are growing up in an environment. We need to educate them in the dunya as well, but your deen should be the priority. If you don't give priority to the deen, what's going to happen is that these children, you know, if you pressurize them too much, you're going to lose them. And I know children, when they've failed their exams, you know, my dad doesn't talk to me anymore. He's swearing at me all the way out home. Why do you have to do that?
We don't recognize, Afisab, that not all kids are academic.
Ji.
Right? There are some people have different talents. Yeah. So there are some kids who you have to coerce into education. Yes, to pressure the bonobo, you have to get them, make sure they do their homework and everything else, and keep the temptations down. I'm not arguing against that. But sometimes there are some kids who are not academic, and what we do is they go to school, they've tried, but they've not done very well, and we'll say, no, putter, you're going to college and you're going to try and do something. He's not gone to university, and this poor kid will go to college and he's doing something like a foundation level diploma, which means nothing, but it's just to please the parents. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then they'll say, right, everybody else has gone to university. So he gets enrolls on a course, takes on debt for course fees, and the course itself is not going to get him a decent job. Yeah. And yet there are others. I know one uncle, his son was probably a couple of years younger than me. And you know what happened? He didn't do well in school. And he sat him down. Honestly, I admired him. He said, but the person again, do you want to go to college? Tell me the truth. I don't want you going there dossing about with lads, yeah, and after 3 years, then you're going to work. He says, if not, I'll set you up a business. Yeah, if you don't want to do it, tell me now. And he said, Abaji, I'm not interested in this. I can't do it. It's not for me. He said, okay, set him a business, yeah. And mashallah, he's been running that business for 20, 25 years, and he's doing very, very well.
Subhanallah.
And so, you know, your child might be one of the best electricians and earn £1,000 a day. He might be a brilliant plumber because he's good with his hands. He might be able to do other work, and you're trying to make him into, you know, a barrister. It won't work. And so there are...
We need to understand our... as parents,
we drive our children away.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, that we make them so scared that then that relationship with the child is not there as well. They're always scared of you. You know, as some parents I know, you know, and I've mentioned that to them, that, look, please, don't be forced. You know, when you go into someone's house and the child comes, he gives you salam and he walks out. Basically, he can't even sit in the same room with his dad. You know, or if it's a daughter, she can't sit in the same room with the mother. That shouldn't happen. Your best friends should be your mother and father. You should have my little son, alhamdulillah, has become a hafiz, yeah?
Mashallah.
But the eldest, he hasn't. Now, if I think to myself, you know, the eldest can't do it, but alhamdulillah, he's good at what he's doing. You know, he's got that jazbah, mashallah. He wakes up in the morning, he'll read his Madani Qaida, he'll read the Quran. We had a course on Saturday, mashallah. You know, so alhamdulillah, so let him do what they enjoy, and inshallah, they'll do good at it as well.
The other thing that I want to emphasize is what we're not saying is give him freedom. You know what I mean? We're not saying give him the free run. There needs to be that fatherly figure. The father is the officer of the house, and there needs to be that dar as well. Yeah. That fear, if we do wrong. We used to have that fear. We knew. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Amiji used to kind of scare the hell out of us, yeah? Mm. They used to say, right, if you did something wrong, right, you've had it now. Your dad's going to have you now. You know, how dare you do this? Or anything you did wrong, yeah? And whether dad did anything or not, it dried right now. And used to play on your mind, and you used to say, toba do it in a garna. You know what I mean? And that sort of thing is very important in a household. That father's dar, yeah? But don't take that too far. Because when you pull the rope too tight, if it snaps, you'll lose it. Yeah. What it is, there is a time for, you know, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Allah Ta'ala, grant them, Sayyidun Tuzi. Qibla Walasab was very good with this. Because what he used to do is, when it was time for work, yeah? He was very strict. You had to do your homework. You had to write your pages. You had to do everything. You know, he had a routine where my brother and I, we used to write 2 pages every day in English and 2 pages of Urdu and everything else. Yeah. And he used to check the homework. And we used to think dad knows everything. So, you know, they used to say, can I have you show me your homework? Yeah. Which, you know, you used to have a homework diary.
Yeah.
So we used to show him like chemistry. So he used to look at it and say, it doesn't any say guitar. Yeah. Go and do it again. Yeah. And we'd just done it quickly. So we used to go, and we grew up thinking dad knows everything about chemistry, physics, maths, geography, and history. And it wasn't. It was just dad's hikmat amli. They used to say, go do it properly. And we should go back and make the eyes were dotted and the trees Inshallah. Across.
JazakAllah khairah, Harun bhai, subhanAllah Azza wa Jal. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, some final remarks, you know, some Madani pearls to the teenagers especially, because this topic was for the teenagers. That, you know, this is your time that you can either make it or you can break it. You know, make it your best choices. Don't get under too much peer pressure. And especially if it's peer pressure from your friends, please make sure that you don't fall into the wrong traps, making the wrong decision. Because I've seen many teenagers, and I'm telling you, and this is not an exaggeration, I've seen many teenagers, yeah, they've made the wrong decision, they were with the wrong people, and now where have they ended up in? Some of them have ended up in prison, some have ended up on the streets, and they're wandering around all day, they don't even know what they have to do. So please, it's time that you made the right choice. Inshallah, Azawajal, we're going to go towards our next segment, which is the segment for Personality of the Week. Sallu ala al-Habib,
sallallahu ta'ala
ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight with Madani Channel.
MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, this segment, why we chose this segment is that so that we can talk about the beautiful personalities. And for this 12 weeks especially, we've chosen 12 prophets of Allah. And last week we were discussing about the prophet of Allah. And today the prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal that we are going to be talking about is Sayyiduna Adam ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. He is our father. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam. Every human, you can say he's the father of all the humans. Ya Bani Adam. So Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he wasn't born, he didn't have a mother or father, but rather Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran when he said to the angels that I want to create a khalifa, you know, a vice garant in the dunya. And Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was the one that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned. And what did the angels say? The Quran testifies to that as well. And the Quran said that, Ya Allah, we are you know, doing your ibadat. Are we not enough for your ibadat? Because if you create humans, they will, you know, they will cause bloodshed and all these things. And Allah Ta'ala, he says that, oh my angels, what I know, you do not know. Allah. So Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, Allah Ta'ala created him, Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And then when he was created, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to all the angels that prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. Now there's a very beautiful thing the scholars, they mention here, is did the angels prostrate to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam? Yes, they did prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, but the nur of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shining in the blessed forehead of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And as Allah mentions in the Quran, all the angels, they fell into prostration apart from one. And that was not an angel, it was the jinn, it was the Iblis. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says to the Iblis that, oh Iblis, get out of paradise. Yeah, get out of paradise. And he was thrown out of paradise. Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he stayed in paradise. Paradise is the best place you can be in. Allah Ta'ala has promised paradise to all the people who do righteous things in the dunya. So you can't be in a better place than paradise. But Adam alayhi salatu wa salam missed someone who was with his own jinns, his own type. So Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, you know, from his left rib, Allah Azza wa Jal created the mother of all the humans. And that was Hazrat Sayyida Hawa radiyallahu ta'ala anha. They lived in paradise for as many years Allah Ta'ala wanted them. And then Adam alayhi salatu wa salam was sent to the dunya. Now here I just want to point out one thing. Sometimes you must have read them in the books as well, and maybe you've heard some people even talk that Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, he committed that sin of eating the forbidden fruit of paradise when Allah Ta'ala forbid him. He committed that sin. And ma'azallah, I was listening to one Someone sent me a clip, and he was saying, you know, in a Jewish way, that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam committed this sin, and then he was thrown to the world. Astaghfirullah. He was a prophet of Allah. All prophets are sinless. They cannot even think about committing a sin. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when he blessed this world, there are some narrations that say that Sayyida Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came to the place called Jeddah in Arabia. Jeddah was where Sayyida Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came. And Adam alayhi salatu was salam came into a country, Sri Lanka, on one of the mountains. And I had a picture of that mountain, but to be honest with you, I wasn't quite sure if that is the correct one. So, or else I could have shown you a photo of that. But inshallah, Azawajal, he did come to Sri Lanka. For so many years, they were looking for each other. And where did they meet up? They met up in Arafat on Mount Jabal Rahmat, is called, where all the Hujjaj on the 9th of Zilhijjah, on the day of Hajj, when it is a sunnat, or it is better to be around Jabal Rahmat. That Jabal Rahmat, a small hill, and you'll see a white pillar. That Jabal Rahmat is where Adam alayhi salatu was salam and Sayyida Hawa radiallahu ta'ala anha met. So Adam alayhi salatu was salam, he made a dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And with the words of the dua, the scholars, they mentioned that he said that, Ya Allah, forgive me for the sake of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, O Adam, how do you know about Muhammad? And he says, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, because in paradise, wherever I would see, every tree, every leaf, every branch had the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from there, I found out that this was a blessed personality. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he says that, O Adam, it is because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I have created you and the universe as well. And his tawbah was accepted. And long story short, Adam alayhi salatu wa sallam, alhamdulillah, he had children, he lived in this world. So he lived for more than 1,000 years. And then Adam alayhi salatu was salam, he left this world. Now, some narrations, Amir al Sunnah, in one of his booklet, Rafiqul Haramain, he says that Adam alayhi salatu was salam's mazar is in Masjid-e-Khayf in Mina Sharif. My dear Islam brother, we need to learn about these personalities. And one of the best source how to learn about these personalities, read the Quran. There is so much mentioned about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran as well. Read the Tafsir Siratul Jinan, para number 1. Alhamdulillah, it starts off how Adam alayhi salam was created, the conversation that he had, you know, Allah Azza wa Jal had with the angels, you know, when Adam alayhi salam was created. It's a beautiful story. So please, you know, we've given you that start to learn about Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. I want you to go and learn, and inshallah, Allah Azza wa Jal, and you'll see that for yourself as well. Now, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, now our next segment is every week we talk about a book as well. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, today we're going to be talking about one of the famous books that was written by a great imam of his time as well. And Harun Bhai has that ready. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's go towards our next segment, which is Book of the Week. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Tonight with Madani Channel. Madani Channel.
Yes, the book that we're going to talk about today is Uyun al-Hikayat.
MashaAllah.
And it is truly an amazing book. Imam Abu al-Farj Abdul Rahman bin Ali al-Jawzi rahmatullah alayh, a very pious buzurg and a very famous scholar, from an early age had a love for the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, set out and had a special passion for deen. And his story is truly remarkable because he fell in love with Haditha Mubarakah.
Subhanallah.
And writing and listening to Haditha Mubarakah. And every time there was a Haditha Mubarakah, he used to make special, the mom used to do special kind of preparations to write and teach Haditha Mubarakah. What Hazrat Imam Jawzi rahmatullah alayhi has done here is this. He has taken a lot of beautiful Haditha Mubarakah, a lot of beautiful sayings, sayings of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as well as the waqiyat of the Sahaba Ikram, of the Awliya Allah, which are lessons for us. Basically, I'll share with you what happens is this. When you learn about the pious predecessors and you learn about their life, it's almost similar to the topic we were discussing today, peer pressure. If you learn about all these pious predecessors and the way they live their life, it will influence you. It will influence you to act in a certain way. Now, what happened is one of the first hikayat that Hazrat Imam Juzi writes was that there was a companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Sayyidina Amir bin Sa'ad Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He gets appointed a governor by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he gets sent, and there's no reply for some time. So he writes a letter, because there's no good news or bad news. He writes a letter and asks him to come to him with all the wealth in his governorship. So he travels to, he comes immediately. He brings just the clothes he has and a few pots and nothing else. Comes to the court of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "What have you brought?" And essentially, you know, "You seem to have walked it." He said, "No, I didn't have a sawari. I didn't have a ride." He walks it from a long distance. And Amir al-Mu'mineen says, "Well, what maal have you got? Have you got any booty, maal al-ghanimah or anything?" He says, "Got nothing. I've distributed everything." So sends him home. And Amir al-Mu'mineen sends a companion to go after him, to stay with him, to see his halat, and says, if he genuinely hasn't got anything, give him 100 dinars. This person stays with him for 3 days, notices that this pious man of Allah has nothing, tries to give him the 300 dinars. He usually won't take them. His wife says, "You know, why don't you take them?" He's got nowhere to put them. So he says, okay. She gives him a piece of cloth. He puts them in there. He runs out of the house, goes and distributes it to the miskeen. He's got nothing himself, and then comes back and says to the servant, "You can go." The servant goes back to the court of Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, "I've given him the money. I don't know what he's done with it." So he calls, Hazrat Amr Farooq calls him back and says, "What did you do with the money?" Initially he won't tell him, and then when the hukum of Amir al-Mu'mineen is there, he says, "I distributed it amongst the poor. I don't want it." Amir al-Mu'mineen then sends grain. He says, "I don't want it." Sends him clothes. He says, "I don't want it." And his entire life, he spent in this way. When he passes away, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu visits his grave with a few companions. And he says to the companions, he says that, "I wish that I had more people like him, so that I could establish justice on the land."
You know, there's so many beautiful stories in these books. And just for the viewers of Madani Channel, at the moment, the book is in Urdu and is printed in Urdu. But there is also a Hindi version of it on the website of Islam.
Those who can read Urdu, honestly, I would recommend just one hikayat every night before you go to sleep. It'll take you 10 minutes or 5 minutes, depending on how good your Urdu is. But really, they are eye-openers. There was two more I just wanted to very briefly mention. And it gives you an idea of the type of book it is. We've all heard that story where Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu had dusri ya tisri kitab padi si ya Urdu ni. But Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu at night used to do gasht of Madinah Munawwara, and they used to go and check whether anybody needed help or anything else. And one night when they're out, there is a mother who's saying to her daughter that, "Beta, you know, add some water to the milk." And she says,
"Is that story in there as
that
well?"
That story is in there as well. Mashallah. So she says, "Look, Beta, Amir al-Mu'mineen," you know, the daughter replies, "Amir al-Mu'mineen told us not to do that." And she says, "Well, Amir al-Mu'mineen isn't watching." Yeah. But she says, "Well, Allah is watching." So Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala hears this, and he says to his servant Aslam, who was with him, that remember this house. And then the next day he goes home and he says to his sons, "Which one of you wants to get married?" And his eldest two say, "Well, we're already married." So one of the younger ones gets up and he says, "Hazrat, I'll get married." And they go back to that house and they say that, "We want your daughter's hand, because such a pious daughter." And he marries that daughter to his son, and they then have a daughter, and then that daughter is blessed with a son who is Hazrat Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is how, you know,
can you imagine the king of the time coming to your doorstep and asking for
as your daughter's so, Easter.
That's the
Then the last one, I think we've got a few minutes left. The last one is an amazing vakya, which, you know, even if you read it, I mean, download it tonight. Go to davatislami.net or Yunul Guides. If you type that in, it'll come up and download it. Go to page 58, and I guarantee you, you will go to sleep mesmerized in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because this particular hadith mubarakah that's quoted here is truly a heartwarming one and an amazing one. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll keep it brief, we've only got a few minutes left, but mentions that there are some pious servants of Allah azza wa jal who are very humble, and when you see them, you won't recognize them. And in summary, basically, nobody gives them, in our sense, the time of day. But if they ask Allah for anything, Allah azza wa jal will fulfill their needs. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says that such a servant is Hazrat Abu Sikarni radiallahu ta'ala. And then Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the whole world is describing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their beautiful attributes. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the Huliya Mubarak of Hazrat Abu Sikarni radiallahu ta'ala, and also says on the day of judgment, people, the pious people will be going into Jannah. Hazrat Abu Sikarni will be stopped.
MashaAllah.
He'll be stopped and they'll say, okay, no, you can't go into Jannah because you're going to stop here and do sifarish. You're going to intercede for the people of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and take him into Jannah with you.
SubhanAllah.
A lot more. Read the book. Page 58, this particular one. I think it's Hikayat number 13, but do read it, it's amazing.
Ji, mashallah, Azawajal. A beautiful book, and it's in two parts as well, Uyunul Hikayat, written by Imam Ibn Jawzi, one of the greatest Imam of his time. You can imagine him being the great Imam of his time, you know, such a great book as well. My Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you were watching our beautiful program tonight with Madani Channel. Our topic was peer pressure. I just want to show you this photo as well. And this is from Dawat Islami's social media. And this just summarizes our topic that we were discussing today. So you're going to see this photo on the screen. You can see it now as well. That's, when it relates to peer pressure as well, because majority of the time, if you have your friends giving you that peer pressure to commit these sins, then what we need to do is we need to uphold our respect, our dignity, our be conscious. Think to yourself what the result will be. I saw this and I thought, mashallah, Azawajal, it's a great post by social media. And I hope, inshallah, Azawajal, for the young lads, teenagers who are watching this program, please, you know, say no to all the bad things that are happening and be straight and try to stay on the straight path as well. Jazakallah khaira. Inshallah, Azawajal, we'll see you with another topic and another personality, another beautiful book. Next time, same place. Please keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right. Let your heart shine bright. Let us take you to what is right.